The easy roads are crowded, and the level roads are jammed. The pleasant little rivers with the drifting folks are jammed. But up yonder where it's rocky, where you get a better view, you'll find the ranks are thinning and the travelers are few. Where the going's smooth and pleasant, you will always find the throng. For the many, more's the pity, seem to like to drift along. But the steeps that call for courage and the task that's hard to do, in the end result in glory for the never wavering few. That's the way, Corps. Albert Einstein, during the war years, said, times such as ours breed defeat and despair. But there remain, nevertheless, some few among us who believe. To meet and overcome even the greatest challenges of this time. If we want to avoid defeat, we must know the truth and be courageous enough to act upon it. And we need not despair. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, listen to these verses. Verse 11, it's a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also what? Live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Two major points. Number one, as we died with Christ, we shall also live with him. And the second great point is, if we suffer, meaning if we stand, if we withstand, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. The first gets us into the mansion. The second, into the throne room of reigning. Hebrews 11, verse 9. By believing, Abraham sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Our journey as believers today is also the land of promise, which is an unconditional guarantee. As pilgrims, we travel on, looking above and beyond for that city and the Father's house with many mansions, whose builder and whose maker is God. Romans 8, 18 to 21 become singularly significant in the light of the introduction that I have just shared. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to usward. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. With just a casual reading of it, as I have just done, you must see that there are some fantastic problems in here for understanding. For instance, the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. It's very difficult. In checking a number of the basic translations, they have the same difficulty. I said to someone today, I'm amazed at times how little understanding I have, because I think for the first time tonight I'll be able to put this together for people. And I should have known this years ago, but stupid me, I didn't obey my own principles of believing and seeing him. But I'm going to show them to you, and I trust it'll bless your heart, and you won't have to wait until you're 39 to figure it all out or something. In these verses from 18 to 21, again, it's the very heart of the mystery, the gospel, the good news. The word reckon is that word logizomai, for I reckon. The thing that I see in here is that I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory. You see the heart of this man, the heart not only of the man of God, but the heart of the word within that man of God. The man who God had to write at another place said of himself he was the least of all saints. For I reckon that the suffering, the standing, the withstanding, the enduring, he's the least of all saints. Yet, he stood, he withstood, he endured. He reckoned that the sufferings of the present time, his standing, his withstanding, his enduring. You see, your mind can't help but go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11, talking about his standing, his withstanding, his enduring. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. In labors more abundant, in stripes above what? Measure. In prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of the churches. He who was least of all saints at one place, as it stated, yet he stood, he withstood, he endured. I more, least of all saints, but I more, in labors more. Most Christians have an eclipsed vision. They can't see the effulgence of God's word or glory. It's like the man who swore that the sun was not shining. He had a pinhead too close to his eye. Couldn't see. He had eclipsed it. So we've done with God and his word. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. For our light affliction, our standing, our withstanding, our enduring is but for a moment, brevity, but it worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of what glory. That's why I told you a while ago, the first gets us in the mansion, the second into the throne room of reigning. The eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are what? Seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Our light affliction, which is our standing, our withstanding, our enduring, is but a brevity, a moment, short, but it worketh for us a far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Because with the redemption of the body is the in view glory of that which will be given to those who reign with him, not just get into the mansion, but who get into the throne room of reigning. Romans 8 said, "For I reckon that the suffering, the standing, the withstanding, the enduring of this present time, of this moment, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to usward, to us, with the redemption of the body immediately in view." Revealed to usward, the future glory to be revealed has the believers in view now. Verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Here also is a very difficult verse of scripture. The words earnest expectation is the Greek word apokaradokia, spelled apokaradokia. Apokaradokia. Earnest expectation means looking with anticipation. The physical picture is one of a man with his head and his body stretched out, leaning way forward. That's this word. A man with his body leaning way forward, looking with anticipation. Earnest expectation is that word or that picture. For the earnest expectation, looking with anticipation, anxiously awaiting, leaning way forward with your whole body and your head forward, just looking, earnest expectation. In Philippians chapter 1, listen to this verse, 1:20. "According to my earnest expectation and my what? Hope." So the earnest expectation is related to the hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by what? Death. The earnest expectation of the return of Christ, that he's going to be magnified in my body, by my life. That's the meaning of it. For the earnest expectation of the creature, the word creature is the word katisis, K-T-I-S-I-S. That word means creation, all that was created, meaning man plus the heavens, the earth, everything. For the earnest expectation, the looking with anticipation, the leaning forward with your whole body and your head stretched forward, creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. This word, katisis or katisis, means all that was created, meaning man plus everything else. The whole creation awaiteth or waiteth. The whole creation is awaiting. And this word waiteth for is waiting to receive something. Whole creation awaiting. See, this word is also used in Philippians chapter 3. Verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look, earnest expectation, look with anticipation. What's he looking for? The Savior, the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And immediately in verse 21, he goes on to say, who's going to change our humiliation body and fashion it like unto his glorious body. See how immediately the earnest expectation of all the creation is the return. Going back to verse 19 of Romans 8, waiteth for the whole creation awaiting the manifestation. The word manifestation is the word apocalypse. A-P-O-K-A-L-U-P-S-I-N is the form used here. The apocalypse, the book of Revelation, the word revelation is apocalypsis, appearing, return. Waiteth for the manifestation, the apocalypsis, the revelation, the revealing of the sons of whom? God. Who are those people? 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us. Troubled means suffering, enduring. Standing, withstanding, enduring. Rest with us. You will be at rest with us at the Lord Jesus Christ shall be apocalypsis revealed from heaven with his angels of might. His sons of God, the angels of might, are called the revelation of the sons of God in Romans 8, which ties in with the return of Christ. Now comes this very difficult verse 20, but perhaps I ought to just give you this line. It's a note I made and didn't see regarding this, sons of God. With the return of Christ of 2 Thessalonians 1:7, the sons of God, that is the day on earth of triumphant jubilation. That's what I wrote. Now I'd like to give you a literal, before I do 20, a literal according to usage of verses 18 and 19. Verse 18, for with a computerized mathematical exactness. That is the best I know for I reckon. It comes from a word that uses mathematical figures. And I put it, for with a computerized mathematical exactness, our stand, to suffer here in King James, our stand, withstand, or endurance of this, our present lifetime, is worthless to try to compare with the glory already in view. That's its literal according to usage. For with a computerized mathematical exactness, our stand, withstand, or endurance of this our present lifetime is worthless to try to compare with the glory already in view. Verse 19, for with the body and head leaning forward with a look of great anticipation, the whole creation awaits the appearing of God's heavenly hosts. That's fantastic. For with body and head leaning forward with a look of great anticipation, the whole creation, not only man, but the whole creation, the earth, everything else, the whole creation awaits for the appearing of God's heavenly hosts. Verse 20, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Again, the words are for the creation. Same word I gave you previously, KTISIS. For the whole creation was made subject, became subjected to, then's that word vanity. And the word vanity is the Greek word MATAIOTES, mataiotes. The whole creation became subjected to this word. And the word vanity means misery. That is the meaning of the word Abel in Genesis. Vanity. Because Cain murdered Abel, misery to Adam and Eve. It's the word vanity that's used here. For the creation became subjected to vanity. Vanity does not communicate to your mind. I don't know if it's communicated to anybody's. You know, vanity is a mirror you look in and you see yourself. That's vanity. Isn't that what they used to call a vanity dressers or someone had mirrors in it? The word is really misery, and now, you know, the whole creation waiteth for the appearing. The whole creation is in misery. That's why that word vanity is so neat in here when you work it accurately. Literally, it says, for the whole of creation became subjected to meaningless results and disappointing misery. That is literal according to usage. Became subjected to meaningless results and disappointing misery. Not willingly in King James. Not purposely. And this is the verse that I never did understand. Maybe today is the first time I understood, and that's what blew my mind. Can't go beyond what you're taught, and you got your old theological junk in your head, and you've read everything the commentaries say and all the Bible scholars say, and so you still keep the confusion. But see, it just didn't make sense to me, and I know the word has to make sense so that we can understand it. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Just a bunch of double talk. I can't understand it. And if I can't understand it, I imagine some of you can't understand it. You see, the whole creation, would that include Adam and Eve? Sure, the whole trip went kaflooey when Adam and Eve screwed up, remember? That's why this is in here. The whole creation became subjected to meaningless results and disappointing misery, not purposely, because Adam and Eve did not purposely believe that this is what would happen. The Bible says, Eve was tricked, not willingly, not purposely. They didn't think they were selling everybody out for years to come and that the whole creation would be affected, but it was. For the whole creation became subjected to meaningless results and disappointing misery, not purposefully, but because, but by reason of him, but because, or through him, the adversary who caused, the word subjected, who caused everything to fall under, subjected, who caused everything to fall under. I have a parenthesis in this literal, line up under, who caused everything to line up under the hope of his return. And that's what blew my mind. See, every time I thought hope, what did I think? Christ, hey, but the adversary counterfeits the genuine. So he is coming back too. And I never saw that. Never saw that before. I could never handle it because what all the commentaries have done is screwy. They just so confused it. Not willing, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in the hope of the return of Christ. You can't put it together. But if you think of the adversary who caused all these problems for the earnest expectation of the creation, the whole trip is screwed up, confused, misery, waiteth for the return, the manifestation of the sons of God, for the creation, for the whole of creation. Here it just tells you in one verse, became subjected to meaningless results and disappointing misery, not purposely, but because of him, or through him, the adversary, who caused everything to fall under, to line up under him, the hope of his return. Verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Because is the word hoti. O with the comma on top of it, pronounced like an H. O-T-I. And it should be translated that. T-H-A-T. And this word hoti points to an existing fact. What's the fact? That the whole creation became subjected, meaningless results, disappointing ministry, because through the adversary who caused everything to fall under him, including the hope of his return. The adversary's doing it. Because he straightens everything out. When he comes back, he tells he's going to, you know, get all the nations together, remember? And he's going to do their thing. That's the counterfeit. That's why this verse 21 is just so beautiful. That the creation itself points to an existing fact, that the whole creation is subjected, that the creation itself also shall be delivered. Literally, it says that the miserable creation itself shall be delivered, set free, set at liberty from the bondage. Bondage is enslavement, the captivity of corruption. And the word corruption is destruction. Shall be delivered, set free, set at liberty from the enslavement of destruction. into the glorious liberty. See, bondage is enslavement. Delivered is set free. Corruption is destruction. Shall be delivered, set free, set at liberty from one thing, the enslavement of destruction, the captivity of destruction, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The glorious liberty of God's children. And that is with the true return of Christ. The miserable creation shall be set free from the bondage of corruption. That will include man as well as all creation. For we're going to have a new heaven and a what? New earth wherein there dwelleth righteousness. Into the glorious liberty of God's children. Because when he comes back, the word says he's going to give us a new body, fashioned like unto his body. And that's the greatness of this 21st verse. So, I trust that puts together with some sense verses 18, 19, 20, and 21 for you. And I thank God that I finally saw that the adversary promulgates a hope too. Then that verse has no contradiction in it and no major problem in it. It's just a matter of believing what the word really says. Well, that's all we're going to do on these particular verses. I thought this would bless you tonight because we're looking for the return of Christ. And I thought this is really great and wonderful.